Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
It is Sunday, March the 15th, the fourth Sunday in Lent. Our reflection today is in John's Gospel, chapter 9, the story of a man born blind, healed by Jesus. Welcome to the Word of Grace, broadcast on CJMQ. My name is Nigel Parker, minister of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke. We begin with familiar words from the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
The Lord's my shepherd. Green, he leadeth me, the quiet
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you are the source of all that sustains us. You are compassion, embracing us when we call for mercy. You are mercy, guiding us through anxious times. You are wisdom, revealing truth to challenge and renew us. Holy One, you bless us with your presence day by day, and so we turn to you in worship, as our Creator, as the Christ, as the Spirit, offering you our love and loyalty, our prayers and praise. We bless you for the peace, comfort and joy we can gain from this psalm, for within its words you promise an all-encompassing provision in our lives and that we will lack for nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We confess that events around us shake our trust in your love. When terror strikes and innocence fall, we wonder if love can defeat violence. When truth is twisted by misleading claims, we doubt love can prevail over lies. When we face trouble, we wonder if you love us at all. Forgive us, Lord, when we lose our trust in your love. And so we thank you for that promise that goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. We ask you to guide us along the right path, to provide us with comfort and refreshment. For in your name is where we can find peace, joy, and a more fulfilled life. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We continue this morning with another of the long stories in John's Gospel, this time about the man born blind that we read of in John chapter 9. As Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spat on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbours and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. And others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "Well, how then were your eyes opened?" they asked. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it in on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Well, where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been born blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. And therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, How can a sinner perform such signs? And so they were divided. And then they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. And the man replied, He is a prophet. They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son? They asked. Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? Well, we know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him, he is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. And that was why his parents said, He is of age, ask him. A second time, they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. And then they asked him, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered, I've told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they hurled insults at him and said, You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. No one has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And to this they replied, You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Now Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. And Jesus said, Now you have seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. And then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus said, For judgment I have come into the world, so that the blind will see and those who see will become blind. And some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, What? Are we blind too? And Jesus said, If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin, but now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. Amen.
I've talked with the Lord many nights at my bedside. I've asked his forgiveness as I knelt to him. And if I could repay, I'd be only too willing. For he died on the cross just to save us from sin. There's a light guiding me. I can see heaven's glory. And it holds me steadfast to his way and his love. It's guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. To that distant shore, many friends have gone for me. They're singing the victory of God's love I know. Through the valley of death, I'll be guided by Jesus. He'll carry me over though I'm weak and low.
starlight guiding me, I can see heaven's glory, and it holds me steadfast to his way and his love. It's guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. There's a light guiding me, I can see heaven's glory, and it holds me steadfast to his way and his love. It's guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above.
For the third Sunday in a row, our assigned gospel reading features a rather lengthy account of someone who is transformed by their encounter with Jesus. First, we had the Pharisee named Nicodemus, recorded in John 3. And then there was the Samaritan woman at the well, recorded in John 4. And now we have the man born blind, the story told in John chapter 9. This man has been blind from birth. And to make a difficult life worse, everyone assumed that either he or his parents must have done something wrong to earn this blindness. And at our worst, it seems to me that we can still assume that those who succeed in life are somehow more blessed by God, and those who suffer do so because of their sin. But Jesus sees things differently. He tells his disciples that there is more to life than meets the eye. God had a plan and purpose for his life that no one could see until Jesus came along. Do you believe that that could be true for you, whatever your disability or blindness or circumstance may be? Is that true for you, for me? In this healing story, the healing of the man's physical sight is told in only two verses. You could say that helping this man to physically see was the easiest part of the story to tell. But this is about so much more than physical sight. The neighbours argue about whether this man really was born blind or not. They refuse to see that a miracle has occurred. They'd rather blind themselves to it than have to rethink the world and their place in it. The Pharisees too are unable to see this miracle because they are blinded by their rules and regulations. And then there are the blind man's parents. They are so afraid of being kicked out of the synagogue for being followers of Jesus that they refuse to say what happened to their son. Their fear has blinded them from seeing and celebrating the miracle they no doubt had been praying for. Is there anyone in this story who is not blind in some way? By the end of the story, there will be one, just one, and that will be the man who was born blind. After his physical sight is restored, he's brought before the Pharisees, who badger him with questions when they ask him what he thinks about Jesus. He says to them, he's a prophet. He is beginning to see, but he's not there yet. Later, they demand that he tell them that Jesus is a sinner. And his answer? I do not know whether he is a sinner, but one thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. The Pharisees don't like his answer, of course, and so they kick him out of the synagogue, just as they threatened to do to his parents. And perhaps this suffering was part of the process towards his seeing who Jesus truly is. God can use even our most difficult experiences to help us see and believe in him. Our suffering, our trials, our difficulties can turn us away from God, or they might be the means that God uses to turn us to God. Jesus left. We don't know why, but we do know why he returned, to help the blind man see. See inwardly, spiritually. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Jesus asked this man upon his return. And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him. And by his very question, we can see that this man is ready to see and believe. And sometimes our questions reveal more than our answers. And this man's question reveals a humility, an openness, and a faith that we don't see in anyone else in this story. Who is Jesus? Jesus answers, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." And this man believes what Jesus says and says, "Lord, I believe." We're getting ready to listen to a beloved hymn, Amazing Grace, which has a line from this gospel reading, "I once was blind, but now I see." And it's worth remembering that the author of the hymn, John Newton, was a captain of slave ships and even an investor in the slave trade. During a storm at sea, Newton had a spiritual conversion. He began reading the Bible and living a devout Christian life. But it's important to note that even after Newton became a devout Christian, he was still involved in the slave trade. Newton had begun to see. In other words, he still had blind spots. And it was not until years later, when an ordained clergyman, that he began to publicly campaign for the end of slavery. And he wrote a widely read pamphlet against slavery. And in that pamphlet, he wrote that it will always be a subject of humiliating reflection to me that I was once an active instrument in a business at which my heart now shudders. And what about us? What does Jesus want us to see and believe this day? What do we need to remember this day? Where are our blind spots? Where do we need to work for change in our world? What is God's amazing grace doing in our lives right now? An encounter with Jesus helps this man to see who he is and who Jesus is. A man born blind now sees who he is. He sees who Jesus is, and he is helping those around him to see with new eyes. That's the good news of Jesus at work in the world. Amen. Again, we turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. We give you all thanks and praise, O God. For once there was darkness, but you created the light. With your touch, the world was begun. And when you spoke to Moses and the prophets, you gave guidance to keep us on sure paths. In your Son, Jesus Christ, you gave us one whose light could open blinded eyes and guide us safely through death's dark valley. When he was killed, you awoke him, raising him from the dead. And now he spreads a rich table before us, filling our cup with goodness and love, that we may live forever in his house. Lord, we pray for those who cannot see your truth, and for those who believe that they see but are blind to their own sin. Open their eyes, open our eyes to our own willful blindness and the spots that conceal us from seeing you and the truth that is in you. As you open the blind man's eyes, may you open the eyes of those who do not see your goodness and beauty, and show them the fullness of your love. We pray for those on the edges, for those who are excluded, doubted, or cast out by religious institutions or society, just as the healed man was cast out by the Pharisees. May they find in you a refuge and a shepherd who seeks them out. We pray for believers facing opposition for their faith. Give them the courage of the man who said, "One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." Strengthen them to testify to your works despite criticism. And Lord, for those suffering without immediate answers, who endure year after year of chronic illness and disability, we pray that they would trust that their circumstances are not due to sin, but to opportunities for your glory to be revealed. Help us to work your works while it is still day. And we pray that our hearts, like the healed man's, would recognize you, believe and bow down and worship. Wash away our spiritual blindness, that we may truly see. And hear us now as further we pray together the words Jesus taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen." The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free.
Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.